Time to close it now.
The podcast that's revolutionizing the HVAC and home improvement trades industries. Get ready to dive deep into the world of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. We're turning up the heat on industry standards and cooling down misconceptions. And we're not just talking about fixing vents and adjusting thermostats. It's about the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement. We're the driving force inspiring top performers who crave excellence, not only in their professional endeavors, but also in fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth. Proving that we can indeed have it all.
This is Close It Now, where excellence meets excitement. Let's get to work. Now your host, Sam Wakefield.
Well, all right. Welcome back to Close It Now. Sam Wakefield here. I am excited about our guest today. I've been on this run lately of like all of these incredible guests, which is really fun. So everybody listening, if there's somebody that you'd like to have, like to hear featured in an episode, message me and let me know. But the guest today is this will release in, International Women's Month, Women in Business, all of this going on. And I, as you know, if you've listened, I've been a massive advocate for women in the trades for years. And so it's so fulfilling and exciting for me to see so many women in the trades. And not to discredit you or take any power away, David, of course, because you're equally important in the business.
Sure.
But it's so cool when there's women involved and it's not just, you know, not just a sausage fest out here and not just guys, right? And so my guests today are David and Stephanie Postel, right? Did I get that right? Postel? Yes. Of Anchor Heating and Air in Charleston, South Carolina. And they are here to just basically like fill us in on what's going on. And I know that there's some value that we're going to be able to give to everybody listening today. And so thank you for joining me on the show today, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Absolutely. Well, let's get started with a little bit of highlight reel for you guys. Before the episode, you talked about how you started from scratch a couple times with businesses and also, you know, we had some really cool changes recently in December. So we'll talk about that a little bit, but give us a highlight reel. How in the world did y'all get into the trades? And then tell us some of your story. How'd you get to where you are now? And a bit of business philosophy and life philosophy.
Yeah, well, David has been in the industry for?
So 21 years now. I actually came in the industry back when my daughter was born. My uncle was already part of a large company, so he brought me on. That was my first full-time job in HVAC and kind of just grew from there, went to different companies, and then along the way met Stephanie and we partnered up and started our own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's part of the highlight reel. There's a lot of low lights in there too. I've had multiple different careers that have brought me to this place. I was a kindergarten and first grade teacher for about 5 years. And then I started my own business, actually a retail monogramming and embroidery shop.
Okay.
I was a personal trainer. All these things kind of getting me ready for running an HVAC business, I guess.
What a leap from that into HVAC.
Right. So actually, one of my personal training customers or clients was an HVAC owner and his wife. Mm-hmm. They were clients of mine, and I had sold my business and was really just kind of contemplating what the next move was going to be. I love training, but the point of going into it was to spend time with my kids. And if you've ever done personal training, it's from like 5 a.m. to 12 and 4 to 8. And right. That doesn't work really well for having kids. So I was really thinking about going back and getting my MBA. And I was training this guy and he said, well, you know, what if I offered you a job? And I've said it a million times, but I honestly had no idea what HVAC was. Like, I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
I had done a lot of marketing and stuff for, of course, my business. We've lived in Charleston our whole lives, so which is kind of a unicorn status here because people are
Sure.
here all the time.
Right.
And so he actually, at that time, this is 2012, had bought three companies and was putting them together and actually had joined Nexstar. And so he brought me on as business development, is what we called it at the time. And I came on to implement Nexstar in this newly put together company. And little did I know that it was really preparing us for, what we've been able to do, but so much value over that time. And when you're in that position and you're telling everybody what to do and how to do it, you become the operations manager.
Right. Yeah.
So by default, I became the operations manager, and we grew that company at the time from 4 to 14 million. And again, pre-COVID, right? So
Sure.
went from 25 to 75 employees.
Right.
David was our lead installer, the best installer, of course. And
Of course, yeah.
right. And
It was a great company with a lot of great culture. It was
Sure.
we're hometown people, so it was still had the mom and pop feel, I would say, and the culture was huge there.
Yeah, we had done a really great job of developing that culture, and things happen, and things happen, and
Sure. It's business, right? I've 100% have been there.
And again, best thing, when I always like I got fired, and I don't know why, but what I do know is that my mentor was like, you should have left there 2 years ago because you're
Right.
so far ahead. You had already taken them as far as they were capable of going
They're
at that.
willing to go, sure.
Yeah, and so great. Again, we have looked back on that experience. We were not together at that point, so we always tell that part too. We were separate, but
There was so much value from what we were able to learn while we were there, and we were in the trenches working for someone, so we didn't have the responsibility other than to gain all the knowledge that we were
right.
able.
And I tell that story too again because I was David's boss at that point. And so that's important to know because we already had our roles established from then, right? David was an amazing installer. I tricked him into becoming the install manager, which he always looks back as like, why'd y'all make me do that? Right. But I made the of course, rookie manager mistake of pulling my best guy out of the field and making him install manager.
Right.
But I'll take credit for it now because he's running our company on
Sure.
our side. So I planned it. That's how
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
that.
It's really all God's plan.
It
Like, you
really
just don't know
sure.
that you're being placed in all these different roles and different areas of life, and that's what comes of it.
Right. That's what
Right.
we needed to do. And so while we left there, and that was pretty devastating because I treated that company like it was my own and grew it that way. The next thing was up for us, right? And so God just said, hey, here's the next opportunity. And again, this is 2019. We ended up getting with an investor, and he said, I have money and I want to write a check and I want to invest in a service business, which was honestly at that time probably pretty smart because, again, pre-COVID and nobody private equity wasn't in our space yet like that.
Right.
And of course, we were like, hey, we know everybody. We know how to do this. We know the right things. And it was pretty much that. We were the face of the company. We were part owners in the company. And we took off from there. We got married February 15th of 20, went on our honeymoon and came home and opened that company on March 3rd of 20,
Wow, okay.
with one truck and a dispatcher, actually at the and me, and we paid that dispatcher all through the first 6 months of COVID. But kind of got off to a great start because we rallied family and friends and marketing and all of that kind of stuff. And we grew that company from 0 to 5 million, and then he fired us.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. And
it's not funny, Sam.
Oh, sorry. But you're laughing. I'm laughing with you, not at you.
Right. We could look back at it now and go, it was all God's grace. There's some, you know, stuff that stinks in it, but it was truly because God was just had a different plan for us.
Sure. Yeah.
And so David was the license holder, and we were like, we were blindsided. We had no idea, but we were like, I always say, I was like, what are we going to do? And David's like, I'm going to put in air conditioners tomorrow. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, we are.
I was like, okay, let's go do it. And I did. We had done a great job during that time of connecting ourselves in the industry, which I always look back at COVID and say that was really what came out of COVID, because everybody was home and they had to connect some way.
Everybody's banding together to support each other. Yeah, I was right in the middle of that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, and I think our industry became much smaller, and you made connections with people that you might not have otherwise. We luckily, I was like, I got fired. We're starting a company. I need a job.
Yeah.
And I had some really great opportunities. And I actually went to work for Contractor Commerce for 7 months while we were growing the business. But we started Anchor in December of 21.
Okay.
And we've been on fire ever since. So it's been a really great experience. About 8 months, I worked for Contractor Commerce. So much great experience. Mm-hmm. They're such a great company, such a great software. Sure.
Love Tall Paul. He's such a good.
Yes,
my most listened to episode is the one I did with him.
He's the salt of the earth. There's no question. And gave me a great opportunity to be able to work from home, learn what was going on, be able to dispatch at lunchtime and after work. And finally, 8 months into it, I was like, David, I can't do both anymore.
Sure.
And we just took the leap, and I came on full time. We hired another technician. We had hired our daughter, my bonus daughter, but David's daughter. She was 19 at the time. And I was really trying to get somebody to do dispatching because I was, you know, busy with my job. And I sent her out in the field to see what her dad was doing. She never came back to the office.
I love it.
He's actually one of our installers.
Oh, how cool. How cool. It's so cool to see women in the trades, one in, you know, all of the normal roles. Right.
Right.
And then it's like for me, because I do so much sales training, I love, love, love training consultants that are women. But man, my fires get like lit in my brain, and I get so excited when I think about women that are technicians and that are retro installers and this kind of thing. And it's just so, so cool to see that like you can do anything you want.
Anything. And she's done such a great job. And it's funny. I mean, now she just turned 21. And, you know, I don't even think that she knows what she's doing is as amazing as it is.
Right.
I mean, it's like you're out there with the guys every day. You're super smart, detail oriented, wiring up units. Like she could do it all. Right.
Sure.
And so I think, you know, we actually just talked about last night. My son also works for us now. We started a duct cleaning division just last November.
Okay.
But so my son is working here. And we just said we're going to start taking them to events. We might start having weekly meetings with them about the business because this is really what we'd love for them to be able to do long term.
Yeah, really. Sorry, having the legacy conversation, right?
For sure. And they're both 21, but out of all of our children, they're both the ones that have money in the bank and own their own homes.
Sure. Clearly the entrepreneurial mindset is passed down through there for sure. This is such a cool story. So you started Anchor in 21 and then we're now in what, February of 2024. This is March 1st. We just had leap day. So March 1st of 2024. So you went from zero to what's the size of the company now?
So our first year we did 1.4. Mm-hmm. Our second year we did 2.8, and we're on track to do 6 this year.
So from zero to 6 in such a short amount of time. So, wow, there's a lot there to unpack.
Yes.
But a couple things that you said in your story really caught my attention a minute ago, and it has to do with mindset, mm-hmm. right? The mindset of, you know, every step along the way. Well, and how fun is it to have a conversation about success? And in your story, you're talking about getting fired not just once, but twice.
Right? We're good at it. We're not with it, but we're good at it.
But at this point, I would probably fairly say you're probably completely unemployable by anyone else, right?
Definitely. There's no question.
But I think
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about the mindset along that way, because there's something I heard a long time ago that I think might really fit is when you choose the mindset of I don't lose, I either win or I learn. And I feel like that's really a lot of how you guys think about this. Is that right?
No doubt.
Yeah, I'm probably a little more, I wouldn't say a risk taker, because I know what I know and I can do what I can do. Stephanie is a little more reserved in that part. She worried a little more, you know, of course. I mean, we have to support ourselves to have our own business.
Sure.
There's no doubt. Like, I knew that if I could handle that side of it and trick her into handling the other portion of it, that there's no doubt we'd be unstoppable.
Sure.
I think that's a perfect thing to talk about in Women's Month or in the trades, because, you know, I have perfect confidence in myself that I can do whatever I set my mind to. But in the trade, when I got fired the first time, there wasn't this close community, because it was prior to all of that.
Right.
And so when I got fired, I thought, who's going to employ me? I was a woman running one of the largest companies in town. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to a smaller company and be like, will you give me a job?
Yeah.
What is the first thing they were going to say? What'd you do?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that was scary, right? That was scary for me. Again, it is that working with your hands, and no one could take that away from David, because he can always go do that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think that is something that women struggle with, is like, okay, then somebody's going to talk bad about me or think I did something bad. And, you know, I'm sure there's stuff along the way at that company that I didn't do perfectly. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we can always grow and be better, but I left there because it wasn't a great fit anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't hurt anything. I didn't do anything bad. And so, that's a hard conversation to have in the trades with a man that's sitting across the table from you.
Right.
So I think that was a little bit of my, and I was very emotionally attached to that company because of what we had done there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so it took me a minute. I really, mental health wise, and that's not normal for me, but it took me 6 months before mm-hmm. I really recovered from that.
Right.
The second time, I would say I wasn't the risk taker, and David thought all along we could be doing this mm-hmm. On our own. And I thought, I think we can, but let me see. Right. And that's where that I probably held us back. And we really thought we had a great opportunity. We're the workers. We went in with every intent of being great partners, and we did what we said we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when we got fired that time, I never lost. We neither one lost a night of sleep thinking we did something wrong, because we never did.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at that point we were like, God is just telling us that you can do this on your own.
Yes. And it's your time.
Right. Basically, I'm going to rip the Band-Aid. If you're not going to do it, I've told you once, and now I've told you twice.
Right. Let's not have a Jonah story.
That's right. That's right. And again, while it was devastating to us, because again, we had grown this We had done two acquisitions in that time. We had this great little 25 employee company. We had just finished doing one-on-one evaluations with every one of them. They were like, "This is the best place we've ever worked. We're so happy. This is so great." I've told this a million times. This happened on a dreary Wednesday. The Tuesday morning, we had had a service meeting, and I stopped the service meeting at one point and I said, "Y'all need to sit in this moment because this doesn't happen. Like, this is all good. You are sitting here saying, this is good. You're sharing with each other. You like the people that you work with. Like, just sit in that for a minute and be present because everybody doesn't have that." And then the next day we got fired.
And clearly, you didn't even realize that you were like planning a anchor
There
in
you
that
go.
moment, right?
That's
So
right.
like
That's right.
capture. I love what you when you break that apart, because you know we have to be. I run a book club for personal growth, and everyone is invited to join. And we just finished a book called The Gap and the Gain. And
Yeah.
so it's about, you know, just exactly that. It's like we're as high performers and high achievers, we're always focused on, okay, what's the goal? And if I miss it by two,
Right.
then, you know, I suck and I'm horrible. Not recognizing the fact that, well, we came 800 steps and then maybe missed the two. Let's be grateful for the 800, you know, accomplishments we have along the way.
Why we haven't drank that bottle of Van Winkle yet.
Yeah, exactly. Waiting for the moment, right? Yes,
I
do
keep
that,
waiting
do that.
for them, but you're so right. That
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
sounds like that's actually a great segue to so actually I've got a couple questions super quick before we get into, you know, what you're doing now and some of the new exciting things with Anchor, because I know there's a lot of people listening. Because I get these questions all the time. I do the free consults all the time with people as well. So anybody out there listening, if you just need some advice and brainstorm, message me. I'm happy to chop it up with you and be that sounding board. But I was sitting with a guy yesterday. He's 2.5 years into business. He's by himself with like one install crew and a helper. And we're having this conversation of, how do I get in my opportunity in front of more people? All these things. So like, what do? I need some more leads. And you know, this classic story. So y'all went from 2021 to now, and you're on pace to go from 0 to 6 million in a year in what, 3.5 years, basically, right?
In
So
3 years.
I would love for you to be able to speak into that a little bit, because there's so many people listening is like, how in the world did you do that? How, like, you started with nothing. You didn't have a, you know, $100 million marketing budget. What did you do along the way to see that kind of growth, right? How'd you get in front of that many? The biggest question is always, how did you get in front of that many homeowners for the opportunity to get your opportunity out there? And just what are some of the key elements to that?
Yeah. Well,
It's building our brand,
yeah.
and she's gonna know all about that
Well, you know, I mean, literally, we started with $2,000 for this company. I mean, there was no plan. We didn't need a plan to have a bunch of money because we were already working at a company we thought we were going to be at forever. So we got the first job. From a friend of a friend that, you know, knew we were at home crying, we needed work. And we took that money and did that job. And then we took the money that we got from that job and we put it back in and we bought the next job. So, you know, I mean, I think it certainly can be done. Now, I tell people that I meet with all the time, you know, again, comparison is the thief of joy. And so you cannot look at us and go, okay, 0 to 6 million. You started from zero, nothing, and now here you are, because we have 10, 15 years of building and knowing processes and procedures, what we wanted and what we were going to be. And we were that from the day we got in the truck. Like, there was no, like, we're not wearing nice uniforms. We don't have a brand. We don't have all of that stuff. Now, we didn't look like Kick Charge brand that first day, but I immediately went on Fiverr or brand crowdfunding, whatever it was. I knew We had a logo, we had a name. My sister actually sent me this quote that talked about God being our anchor. That's where our name came from. So immediately we had a story connected to the name of our company. I had already written a business plan for our first company. And so, you know, immediately I went into tweaking that so that we, you know, knew what our first 3 years was going to look like.
Right.
I went into writing an SBA loan, which, you know, which is great. It took 7 months to get, and praise the Lord, by the time we got it, we didn't need it.
Sure.
But all of that said is like, you have to get your name out there. Mm-hmm. You have to start putting your brand out. And the first thing I did was make that brand and put it on Facebook, made our Google My Business page. We had a one-page website for a long time because we knew we were going to brand with Dan Antonelli. That was definitely we're going to do that thing. And I didn't want to spend a bunch of money making a website and then have to rebrand it.
Right.
So we went with a very simple website for a while. But everybody that we could get in front of, we got in front of.
And from the very beginning, Sam, we charged just as much as the large guys in company. We never cut throats. We never did any of that because we knew we had our brand coming and we was going to have to stand by that and charge the prices that everyone else is charging.
Sure.
That's really how we...
There's no
grown
question.
And been able to do what we're able to do.
And I... Every company where I talk to these guys, typically newer companies, I will tell them that from the beginning, one, you're hurting the industry by not charging what you should be charging, right? Because we're all out there trying to make a living. And there is a standard of what stuff costs, and you should be holding that standard.
We're supposed to make money doing what we're doing.
Right.
No one says that's a bad thing.
It's a skill. Right. And if you could fix it, then don't call me. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's the whole part is that we didn't get out the truck and go, you know, oh, God, anything you want to throw my way. Right. Mm-hmm. If the big guys in town were charging $300 for a capacitor and we showed up when we said we would in a nice truck, in a nice uniform, we put our booties on, we talked to you about what happened, we gave you options, then why do I need to take 150?
No,
like that doesn't make sense. Right. Mm-hmm. And so because we did that from the beginning, because we were smart about not buying things that we didn't need immediately, we did a lot of free marketing. We didn't write a check, and we still don't do this. We don't write a check for marketing or a sponsorship that we can't go to and be at. You will never get a check for me that you don't see me at that place, even down to sponsoring a soccer team. When I sponsored the soccer team, my name was on the shirt, but the last game of the season, David and I took snacks and pom-poms out there.
Love it.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but when we did that, like it created this groundswell of they have a great reputation. They're going to treat you right. We're not the cheapest. We're not the most expensive. And you're going to get better personalized service from us than you're going to get somewhere else.
Absolutely.
And that allowed us. And I'll say that I typically am not in favor of putting my face on marketing, but because I had a very specific non-solicitation that I very specifically held to, I can't help it that I put a billboard up that had my face on it. So if you needed to find me, then you could find me.
There you are. Yeah.
I didn't call any old customers. I didn't text them. I didn't email them. I didn't do any of that. Mm-hmm. But I knew where my customers were and where they would need to find me. And then I had a story to go along with it. And so we put ourselves where we would be in front of those people. The whole secret is charging what you need to charge gives you freedom to later leverage that amount of money.
Sure.
And so we were able to put a decent amount of money in the bank the first year because we didn't use it as our personal wallet. And when you walk into a bank and ask them for money and you show them your bank account, they're like, we're happy to give you credit. We're happy to buy those trucks from you, you know, for you. So you can't do that if you are hoarding the cash, if you're hiding the cash, if you're not. And listen, that might be what some people want to do, and I'm good with that. But it doesn't make you a business in the eyes of the bank and the government. Right. And so then they're not going to give you money to help you grow your business.
Sure.
That's our rant.
Oh, I love this so much. So it's, I mean, I'm hearing so many things through this. One of them that is really standing out to me so much is, one, it's a 15-year overnight success story, sounds like. So yes, that's the coolest thing about, you know, our successes and failures. We're never moving. There's a training that I teach that I heard years ago called the Valley of Despair. But every time that we learn and grow, our new valley is the peak of where we used to be. That's where we wish we could be. And that's our new valley. And like, wait, okay, so we're starting at higher and higher levels. It's not like we're starting from scratch each time and relearning. No doubt. And it also sounds like, oh, go ahead.
I said it's never lateral moves. It's always moving.
Yeah, up. Yeah, 100%. And it sounds even more importantly, y'all's belief system around your own skills and abilities. It just, you knew that you're going to be, it's like basically that belief system's like, I am a successful person. This is what we do. We will be successful. Let's go. And so from day one, you just modeled that mindset and said, let's just go, because this is just what we do and who we are. We are successful people. We are successful business owners.
That's
right. Just happens out of that, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, there was no question about whether we were going to be successful. It'd just be how fast, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's, we have a very high bar for ourselves. Hence the reason we haven't had the bourbon yet, but, you know, it's like, we're waiting to celebrate. But we don't get me wrong. We enjoy, we have a great life. And I think that's the other part, is that we literally wake up in gratitude every day. Mm-hmm. And I think when that is your mindset, right? I mean, we went through some really hard stuff. I mean, and again, there's also been really great people around us, you know, back to my mentor that said the first time, you know, you should have left there. The second time, she really said to both of us, you have to let me guide you, because you're in no mindset to be able to make decisions right now. Yeah. She was like, I will guide you and I will tell you what to do until you are ready to make decisions again, because you're so hurt in those mm-hmm. moments that it's very easy to make bad decisions. And, yeah. And she was a great, guide for us. And I think it's helpful to have those people around you that are willing to say that, like, mm-hmm. Let me show you what to do for now until your feet are under you again. Another really, you know, our faith is huge for us. We right. just know we can look back years to see how that was, coming back to church and getting back baptized. And again, and all those things were just preparing us. But I think that's the biggest thing, is just having that guiding light, basically, mm-hmm. and knowing who you are and that there's a better plan for you. So.
Sure. Yeah. It's like, and it helps, sounds like it really helps you to be very steadfast in your core beliefs and your core values. And that does, it's not just personally, but that carries through into everything that you touch. It's building the culture of the company and all of that as well.
It does too. Of course, you know, I've talked several times. The biggest thing that came out of the second firing, I think, one, there was a great guy at church on Christmas Eve, because keep in mind, this happened December 9th. Mm. We went to church on Christmas Eve, and a guy there who was a good friend of ours, we told him our whole story right before we walked into church. And he said, you need to go read the book of Job. He was mm-hmm. like, this is exactly like, this is Job's story. And that's going to be a big thing for you. And I had to say, I didn't know the whole story. And we both went home on Christmas Eve and read the story of Job. And it was life changing, because yeah. that's what happened. Job lost everything. But then God recreated for him and gave him more, right? Mm-hmm. Was still sad at what he'd lost, but he got more. So that was a huge thing, I think. Again, just having those people that were pouring into us then. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, it's just it's given us every time just the guiding light to go back to. So.
Love this. So I've heard you say several times so far the importance of having a story, the importance of having that as like your message, and being able to be a storyteller and all of that. So talk to us a little bit more about that, because that sounds like it like really just integrates into the entire company culture, how you train your people, how you build your culture, just everything around it is a story. So talk about that a little bit, because that's missing in so many companies. Even these huge, I'll coach a $30 million a year company and they have no story. It's like their
Right.
branding is bad, all these things. It's like, okay, guys, you're awesome. Let's
Yeah.
fix, let's tweak a couple of these things. And then of course, then they start to really grow. But tell us about story and how that's important, and how, when somebody doesn't, they don't think they have one, but they actually do. How does somebody find their story?
I think the, well, one is this is who we are, right? So we're pretty like, we're this is what we're doing. We're going to create this. We know how important that is, marketing and the background of it. And I think it makes it easier to get up every day when you do have a story. But I would say there's definitely been people, whether they're in the industry or just people in our lives, that pointed out some of our story too, that made us like realize what we love, what we do, who we are as a couple. And so then when we were creating our company, we knew how it was going to function, but we maybe didn't have the whole story around it and why each of those parts was important. I'll say, any day of the week, Sarah Girardo is like the smartest marketing person out there. And sometimes Sarah will take you down a rabbit hole, but it's all because she's so smart. But she said to us, we were at a conference, and she pointed out my pearls, right? And my pearls were just like it's just second nature to me. I literally have worn pearls every day since I was 14. Like that's just my thing. I was given them at a thing by my dad, and I've worn them every day. I wear them if we're in the pool. I wear them if I'm working out. I only take them off at night. Like it's just my thing. And Sarah pointed that out, and I was like, oh yeah, right? But so you don't think about how that can become part of our heating and air brand, right?
Yeah, even on the, for everybody listening, if you don't see the video, like, or watch the YouTube, even on the outline of the window in the Zoom, she's got a pearls right around the window, which I love, is this border here.
That's it, because that's out, like that's my thing. But once we started getting our company going, then, well, we knew Anchor that had to do with, like I said, our faith. And so then you start, okay, well, we can make our maintenance agreement the Captain's Club. That just kind of makes sense, right? That's nautical. But when you start putting the pearls in it, well, what do pearls signify? Something that was a little piece of sand that irritated the hell out of somebody and became something beautiful. Well, I mean, here we are, right? And they're strong and classy. And, I mean, so you can do so much with the pearls, right? When I think of pearls, my favorite people are Princess Diana, Jackie O, Barbara Bush. They're all women that wear their pearls all the time, right? So I think then again, now we can create, we're classy, we're higher end. Those are that's who we are. And we created the Pearl Promise. And we just kept saying, we have the Pearl Promise. And then people were like, what is that? And I was like, we show up and we say we're going to show up. We do what we say we're going to do, and we're going to exceed expectations every time. And we were literally at an event, and I had to say that like 500 times. And at the end of the event, well, there's our Pearl
There's your
Promise.
pearl promise.
Right. And if we just do that every day, we are amazing. That's all we have to do. Show up, do what we say we're going to do, and exceed expectations. And that's what our people can get around. And there's so much room in that that allows us to have that story. And I think, the other part is because we knew what our company was going to look like, we have lots of procedures. There's lots of structure here. not in a bad way, but in a when I show up to work every day, I know what to expect kind of way.
Sure.
And I think that draws people in, right? So I know what to expect. I look really good because we have amazing clothes and Vans,
Sure.
right? People like us because we already have a great reputation. And anytime there's extra or something, these people want me to win. Where else would you go work,
Right,
right?
right. So you don't have a recruiting problem.
No.
Oh, I love this. This is the other hot topic is, of course, especially in our industry, is oh, there's such a limited workforce. I can't find the right people. There's not enough people. And every single time I hear that, I'm like, well, actually,
Yeah.
if you create a place people want to work
Yeah.
and create a culture they want to be there, you have
Right.
zero problem. I mean, here in Austin, when we were building the sales team, when I was managing that years ago, we had a line. I always had a line. I could at any moment I could pick up the phone and call through people who had come in and from all over town that were currently employed, that were top producers, that said, we want to work for you
Yeah.
here at this place. And it's the same thing that happens when you create a great brand and you start to attract the top performers, right?
Exactly, but here's what it also goes back to. So our what we knew about running a business is that we could not afford at the beginning to hire inexperienced people. There's nothing we totally support that. Obviously, we brought our daughter in, we brought our son, we brought other people with less experience in now. But at the
Sure.
beginning, we knew we couldn't do that because it's costly, because it would cost us a reputation. It would cost us callbacks. Those are incredibly costly. We couldn't do that. So we knew that we had to pay for experience.
Right.
Well, how did we pay for experience?
We charge the
Because
right
we were
amount for stuff.
charging the right amount, right? So it all goes back to that beginning foundation of then getting really paying the highest amount, and people would be like, how are you getting that guy? He's got 10 years experience. He's got 15 years experience. That guy lives 2 hours away and he's driving to work for you every day. You know why? Because we pay him really well, because they're worth it. And because we've been reinvesting back into the company, because we're priced correctly, we're priced fairly. Nobody would say that we're priced more than anybody else. And in fact, a lot of companies were priced less than, but it's important. It was important for us in building our brand to have really experienced people. I can't tell you the difference that that's made in our company. I mean, we also have just passed 400 and something reviews in 2 years, right? Like, there are people that have been in business in Charleston that have for 20 years that don't have 400 reviews.
Correct. Absolutely.
But people are moved because of the people that we put in their homes to write them paragraphs because they're that good, because their experience was nothing like they'd ever had before. So I think that's the other recruit why we don't have a recruiting problem, because we can pick and choose who we want to work here that believes in our mission, that fits in our culture, and that wants what we want, success for them.
I'm pretty sure if you ask them, they would tell you we're a team. They don't work for us. We win together, we lose together, whatever the case may be. We're
And I always hesitate to say, because you always have to have context and you always have to have the right audience, but David and I have enough. Like, we have each other. We have amazing children. We have the two cutest little dogs in the whole world. We have a really nice house that we built, and we have a nice car and a pool. What else is there, right? What else do you need? But what makes us feel more successful is, what are we going to see our people accomplish? We have people walking in here now that are like, hey, can you help me figure out how to get a house? Hey, I really want to get a car. Hey, I need to repair my credit. I really want to be able to do this. That to me,
People that are throwing down nicotine and all that kind of stuff so they can start saving so they can become better people.
Right. No vaping, no tobacco, no. And that was a choice that they came up with.
Say that's not our policy.
Well,
Wow.
it
So right.
is.
So, but it was a team that developed that policy then, not just you guys saying, "Hey, here's the law."
Right. Well, and I think you begin to see when you make choices like that, if you're buying $9 packs of cigarettes every day, you can't win. No matter how much I would ever pay you would never win. And so then again, that's kind of where we are with, our kickoff meeting for this year was, 3 hours of numbers and what we're going to do and goals. And the last hour is cutting out of magazines and creating a vision board that I need you to take home and look at every day.
Wow, that is
Right? That's,
incredible. I don't hear of companies doing that with their people.
oh,
That
thank
is,
God for
love
kindergarten
this.
teachers, right?
Exactly. This is so powerful. And for everybody listening, I hope you're taking notes because there are some massive, massive, massive nuggets that we're covering here that Dave and Stephanie are dropping on everybody about how to build a winning team, how to build a culture, how to build, this machine that is starting. It's just not just starting, obviously. There's a time, it's you're probably getting close to this point where you're like, it's going with or without us, right? That everybody's so invested equally, which it sounds like is so cool.
It is. It really is. And don't get me wrong, I literally just spoke for Service Nation this week on procedures in your business.
Sure.
And it's funny, as I was asked to speak to do that talk, and then by the time I did it, I actually lived my own speech, right? Because we are very structured. We do have lots of policies and procedures that help us win, but all those get turned upside down when you acquire a company and you bring in 5 or 6 more people within 2 months,
Sure.
and now your reach is different, and the people that you're serving don't know you, and we took them over from a company that didn't treat them very well, and not certainly to the level that we do. And all of a sudden, all these things that worked really well, you're like, oh crap, we got to change that. Or we got to communicate it better to these new people. We know they're the right fit. We know they fit the vision and the culture, but it's on us to make sure they understand how to do it. Right? Because we're so bad as contractors at telling people one time how to do something and then being pissed off that they don't do it right.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
we do that a lot. We have to show them, teach them, evaluate them, reteach them, make sure that they get it, or maybe that they're not in the right seat, and put them where they need to go. But that's super important. And we had to relive that lesson in the last 2 months. But now we're ready, right? I mean, everything is always getting ready for May, right? We're
Of
always getting
course,
ready
yeah.
for big season, And so I think by then we'll be ready again, and have, really gone back and refined and defined new procedures and old procedures so that we can be chugging. And listen, the goal is for us to be able to be where we want to be. We love being here. But we love traveling. We love giving back to the industry by being at conferences and being able to speak and network and all of that kind of stuff. And we know we have really high performing people here that can do that when we're not here.
Sure,
So
sure. Oh, I love
that's.
this. It sounds too, just to, on the onboarding new people is sounds like it's so important to one, communicate clearly and repeatedly, but also to be patient and give them grace in learning the process.
For sure.
And so many times the owners will hire somebody and 2 weeks later, like, oh, you haven't gotten it yet. Maybe you're not a good fit. Well, it's like they're barely getting their feet wet in the culture of the company and figuring out learning names still, and you're like ready to can them because they don't have your processes down yet. Come on.
We definitely, that's a big thing for us, is just spending the time to, one, just let you get into the policies and procedures and how does this look, and doing our best to not throw you into the truck, not throw you into it. Or if we do throw you in there, throw you in the install, David's on site making sure that they understand what they're doing. All of this is about hands-on, there's no question, but bringing on service technicians and making sure they're sitting in the call center, you know, for half a day or a day, seeing what it takes in order to get them calls to do, right? Making sure that they see the information that's being gathered. And a lot of it, I think, is the intent of each other, right? My CSRs are not trying to screw my technicians, right? We are trying to get you the best information so that you can get there and be prepared for the call.
I want to say that it's like we were talking earlier, though. It's different when you can kind of, I don't want to say that we don't want to teach people, but we're able to handpick the people that we bring in. So it's just a lot easier that, like we said, those people are creatures of habit. So they're looking for the company that has the procedures, all that stuff. That's why they've sought us out. They know they hear us. And when they come here, that's what it is. So it's just a little bit of that is much easier for us because we're able to pick qualified people.
Yeah, the threshold starts higher, and for competence and ability to learn and all of that.
There's a lot of, not a lot, there's a couple of large companies in town that are next to our companies and all that stuff. So the guys that leave from those companies are well-trained guys.
Well, and no doubt we have, as much as we appreciate, you know, the private equity injection into the industry, we are also very happy to be locally owned, and we very well market
Yeah,
that.
absolutely.
Because, and I hope, you know, I hope that you can tell, and I know that our people can tell, like, you are still getting us. We are here. We can pivot very quickly. We can do all of those things because we truly believe in what we're doing, and we don't have a plan. We're always running to exit, right? Like that, you should be running your business that way, but we don't have a plan to exit soon. So while we're running a really great business, you know, they are looking for the company where they're gonna talk to the owner every day and be taken care of and see all those things. So we've been able to do that. I think the other thing, like I said before, is creating a company of all the best stuff. You know, my opinion is I love ServiceTitan. We've been with them since 2015. It just works for us. So the people that we're bringing on, they know ServiceTitan. So they're just walking right in. We can hand them an iPad. Whereas if you're new, you might get a few days of training on ServiceTitan, but because we've kind of picked that person, I don't have to spend the time reteaching that. I can just teach the way that we do it.
Yeah,
You know,
here's how
we
we have
have
it organized and set up, and here's the flow.
That's right. You know, we have all of the great things out there that we know we can leverage in our business to make us better, and ultimately makes them make more money, they're happier, and then those goals are much easier to be attained.
I
I
just hope
love
that
this so
people
much.
all this stuff and realizing it's no magic bullet. Like it's years of experience. It's knowing what's the right lever to pull when it's the right time. It's all that stuff. It just doesn't happen. Like you can't just get out of the truck and say, I'm going to start a company. I'm calling up Dan. He's going to build us a brand. We're going to call Eric Thomas. He's going to do our website. It doesn't all unfold like that.
Right. It's picking those right partners at the right time when you have created this operation that can support those things, right? Because the brand is amazing, but the brand does nothing if you don't have a lady or man in the office answering the phone that can provide high quality customer service. And that's a mistake that I think, you know, some people are making, is that, you know, the branding is great. Definitely a fan, but don't hurt yourself by not having the operations behind it, you know, that can support that. We make that mistake with our marketing companies all the time, that we blame them because the phone's not ringing. Well, if your people are calling and you're not answering, it is not the marketing company's fault. And
Agreed.
they cannot close the deal, right? Like, all they can do is make the phone ring. So, I would say the other part, which is a great point that David made, is that you can't expect all of it. If you are not using your money properly, if you're not reinvesting into the company, and if you get in a position, are you making sure you have people around you that you can call and say, hey, I don't know? You know, I think Mary is a great example of that. I love Mary, but I've never met Mary in person. Right. Like she reached out to me and said, hey, I've heard you. I've read your story. I've seen you on TikTok. I feel like I know you and I think you align with what I'm trying to do. Will you help me?
Sure.
Well, what do you think I'm gonna say?
Of course, yeah.
Absolutely. Call me every week. Here's my number. Text me any day you need a answer to a question. I'm happy to walk through that with you. That's the power of connection in our industry. And I think when you are willing to do the work, then there's people willing to help you. That's the
Agreed.
only thing that I tell people when I do time with you, you get an hour. It usually ends up being two because obviously I talk a lot. However, do not waste my time because I make $1,000 an hour. In my mind, I make $1,000 an hour. So if you leave this talk, you better go do what I told you to do. If
Implement.
you do, you will be that much closer to success. Don't waste my time by not taking action because that's what people do. There's so many people that gather all the information and then they never do
Never
anything.
do anything. Knowledge on ice, right?
Can't stand being with those people. Like, show me what you're doing. When I meet with people, they don't have TikTok, and the next day they show me they got a TikTok and they're starting to market themselves that way. Great. That tells me that you heard what I said and you are on the way to improving your business. So
Success happens at the speed of implementation,
that's
right? It
exactly
doesn't matter
right.
how much you learn, it's how much you apply, right?
Yeah, so true.
I love this. So let's turn the corner a little bit because I know y'all have got some really cool stuff going on. We talked a little bit before the episode. So what's Anchor? What's Dave and Stephanie really excited about right now?
Vacation.
Vacation. Yeah.
We
Get
don't have
that
one
last
planned, by
vacation in right before the big summer rush, right?
the way. Right. Yeah. Well, like I said, we don't even have one planned,
Does
but
conference season count as
right.
vacation?
Right. We'll
Everybody's
come back to
like,
Austin. We'll hang out.
yeah, we can't we count that as vacation, I guess. No, just kidding. So again, back to the being able to leverage being priced right and being in, you know, the right place at the right time. My director of mergers and acquisitions guy here, you know, we are always looking for opportunities and putting ourselves in a position where, you know, back to knowing that we had great people that we could hire if we had the work and we could afford to bring them on. And so we were lucky to hear about an opportunity and David reached out and he's always better at the first contact and then I'll close the deal on that side. But we acquired a company at the end of December and it's already been a really great opportunity for us just to bring them in the fold and to be able to show them the quality of the service that we provide. Not that it hasn't come with a lot of conversations with people and no, please just give us a chance and you know all that kind of stuff. But I think it also gave us the opportunity to bring on an amazing service manager. She is
Oh, love
amazing.
it.
Yes, actually at when I was operations manager, I brought her on as a CSR in 2015 and
Okay.
she rocks it as a service manager. We've been surpassed budget 2 months in a row.
She's setting her bar pretty high
She
early on in the year.
definitely has. She has a following, right? So part of, you know, I don't want to take all the credit. I am the place that you would want to work, but I hire people that I know have followers. And so because she is amazing, she had people that were like, wherever you go, I'm going. And they were really high quality people that fit the culture. So that has been a game changer, no question.
Sure.
I will say that was always part of the plan, right? To be able to go back and hand pick these people that we knew came up with the same ideology and philosophy that we
Sure.
have, and then now being able to bring them back together. Same thing with our comfort advisor. right? I mean,
We do like ish. We do like ish, Mel. So he does. We bring them in and we make them call their boss and put their 2 weeks in.
Love it.
that's been really great again. And so just creating, continuing to create this team and grow this team, and now having the customers that we know we can support. And we got a lot of service contracts with that, but we got another, 6,000 customers that need to be reactivated.
Right.
And so I will say again, the power of connection. When David brought me this deal, I had to, I called on the people in the industry that I like to consult with and that I respect, and they put it in perspective for me on what we should pay and what that should look like. And one of them finally said, "This is nothing but a marketing play." And I was like, "That's it." Like, I honestly will spend money to market this year, but I need to be spending money marketing to those 6,000 people because they've had HVAC service. They know the value of it. They just don't know me yet.
Right.
So if I only marketed to them, then I don't have to spend another dollar.
Right.
So when you're collecting thoughts like that and you're getting people that are giving you that perspective, like that made it a no-brainer, and helped me structure a deal that I think will benefit the people that sold us the company, but it will also benefit us
Sure,
as
sure. Yeah, it has to be a win-win. I love this so much. So it's the classic Warren Buffett expansion through acquisition, right?
Yes. I think it has to be that now. I mean, we greenfielded as much as we could. We provided, great service to people. Lots of people found us because of that. We've done a great job of guerrilla marketing. We've spent very, we have an amazing website by an amazing company, and we have great SEO. Eric Thomas and his team at Rival have killed it for us. But we have also put a lot of time into Facebook and not ads, in living in those Facebook groups, being the experts in the neighborhood, being on top of who needs an HVAC contractor. We have cultivated raving fans that we take good care of because they're always the first to recommend us. We thank all of them very often. And so that's been another really great way of being able to do that. And now we'll be able to expand into that with these people.
Oh, I love this so much.
I'll take it. Bullet. 0 to 6 million. Lots of people will just tell you that number, but they don't tell you that they acquired or they built their brand or all that stuff along the way.
Right.
So. Yeah, it doesn't. And if they do say that, you need to ask how. Right? Because if you're going, 0 to 20 million in 2 or 3 years, there's a story behind that. It doesn't mean it's a bad story. It doesn't mean it was an easy story. But I can tell you, like, we've worked our butts off. I'd like to be 20 million right now. But like, organically, that doesn't just happen,
I think
you
it's only fair in our duty to share that information so that other people hear that and they don't think that or just be spending money with this guru or that guru because
Right.
that's going to get them from this level to the next level.
Right. You can't spend $10,000 a month in SEO and then become a $20 million company. Like, it just doesn't happen. That's the, like, so I think those are the kinds of things that we just want to, for us, make sure that we're giving context behind what we've done, and that, there isn't much off for us. We're always talking about what's the next thing, how are we going to fix this, how are we going to do that, what event are we going to be at, but we like that, right? And here's another big context thing. We don't have little children. Our children are 21 and above, and I talk to people all the time. I'm like, I applaud you because this is a hard business to be doing with little children. So, you're so torn because you want to spend time with them, you want to be present for them, and you should be. But that might mean that you can't grow as fast or you can't do something that way. And that's okay, right? Don't try to compare yourself to what I'm doing, what David's doing, because we don't have those limitations
Completely
right
different life situations.
now. Definitely.
I love that. There's such wisdom in what you're saying there because, you know, like personally, I do the same thing. And, you know, I watch these other coaches and trainers that started identical and like different sized companies. And for everybody that's listening, you know, the comparison is what thief of joy, right? So you've got to be okay and give yourself grace in your own personal situation and your life experiences, life situations. And I mean, what is it? What's the saying? It reminds me of that, the picture from the Olympics a few years back from the swimmers, with the talking about how the one guy that was came in second, and everybody's like, he's the best swimmer in the world. And the picture that was like the one that like told the whole story is he's looking over into the lane next to him.
Right.
Yeah, watch Michael Phelps win. Well,
Win.
Michael Phelps, like, he's a way better swimmer. Michael
Right.
Phelps focuses on the winners, focus on the finish line, losers focus at winners.
That's
And
right.
that's it. We just have to run our own race, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think it helps again if that is what your situation is, to be asking the questions, right? So that if you are going to grow slower, you grow smarter, right? So be spending the money in the place where it needs to be spent. Be spending the time at a festival or a community that could butter your bread a lot.
Sure.
Right, as opposed to putting an ad in a magazine that you hope somebody sees,
Right.
right? Now, does it take your weekend to be at that festival? Of course it does. But you might get five people that do a change out as opposed to no people that saw your ad in that magazine. And it's the same amount of money, basically. So I think those are the things that once you know what your plan is, and you have a strategy for growing, you can make better decisions about that kind of stuff.
Oh, this is so good. So good. Well, I would love to continue this conversation for indefinitely because clearly there's so much that y'all can share. So one thing that this podcast is known for is every episode we like try to give something that's immediately actionable that the listeners can take away and just run with right away.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that you guys would share for that owner that's, you know, in that place where you've been, maybe they're, you know, they're struggling with that and just like to get their mind right and to help them to get to that next step really quickly.
Jump on a call with Stephanie.
Stop it. I love you. You know, there's more than one, so there's no way
Sure.
that
It's more than one, of course, but
right.
like where would they start? I guess it would be a better
I would
question.
say get connected, right? I would say get connected with people that you see doing what you think you want to do, right? I would say stay out of groups on Facebook that seem to be just telling all their highlight reel and not the whole story behind what they're doing. That's a big thing. And I would say if you're smaller, seriously focusing on being community, Facebook, that marketing, there's so much stuff you can do for $0. So much stuff. In all of these groups that you can be in. And I have a really great strategy that I'm not going to share, but like I just, there's just stuff where you have to be authentic. And when you are authentic with people, customers see that. And then that's who they want to do business with. But you can do a lot of that for free. And I would say for sure, you have to have a strategy of website SEO that you are building. Because that ultimately that's the long game. But if you start on that too late, you'll be starting over, when you start there. So connection is huge. There's so much opportunity and people out there that are willing to help. All you have to do is ask.
Agreed.
And I think we don't do that. We kind of want to look and see what we think they're doing and then try to replicate that without knowing, like we've said, the context
The
behind it.
details, sure.
Yeah. So I think
Well,
those
thank
are.
you so much for that. So for everyone that's listening that would like to get a hold of you, how do they get in touch with you? And also for everybody listening, if you're anywhere near or even want to move to North Carolina, right, that I'm sure that you know, you could totally reach out to Anchor and, you know, throw your hat in the ring, be like, we'd love to have a conversation. Clearly, it's a great place to work.
No doubt about that. Yes. So you can email us. I'm S Postel, P-O-S-T-E-L-L at anchorheatingandair.com. David is D Postel, same thing, at anchorheatingandair.com. And we're on TikTok, we're on Facebook, you know, reach out to me. I will tell you on Facebook that if I don't know you and send me a message about why you want to be friends with me, because we get all kinds of requests all the time. So I'm happy to, if I see you're in the industry and I've seen you around, I will definitely accept that friend request, but message me. That's really, that's a great way to do it as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for that. And yeah, Anchor Heating and Air. Actually, you have a new follower on Facebook. I just did that. And so, but I love this conversation so much. You guys are awesome. Thank you for hanging out with me today and helping to, I'm pushing all of the recordings that I had aside to feature every single one of the women that we can in the trades this month. And so thanks for being there for us as well. And that's just so exciting to see people win. There's nothing I love better than watching, you know, just like success leaves clues and then being so willing to pour into this community. And we're super grateful for that.
Yeah, so thank you. Well, it's been done for us. And we just believe if we put good stuff out in the world, good stuff comes back to us. So we're going to keep doing that.
100%. Sowing and reaping. So excellent. Love it. Love it. So for everybody listening, a couple super quick announcements before we land this plane. One is March 21st and 22nd. Make sure to get your butts to Austin, Texas for the Close It Now sales training event. It is going to be fire. And it'll be the best catered event in the industry because we're in Austin. So we're doing tacos and barbecue, which will be awesome. But more importantly, there's not been a single person I've trained in all of 2023 that went through this course that didn't improve their numbers by minimum 30%. So everyone listening, come to this course. It's going to be great. You can find that at closeitnow.net. Email me, sam@closeitnow.net, or pop me a text, 512-364-8559, and make sure to join the Facebook group. David's in the Facebook group. We were chatting the other day. So just search Close It Now on Facebook, and you will be able to find the group. It's not a guru group where we only highlight the highlight reel. We definitely talk about some struggles, and you know, it's pretty authentic group. So it's 100% positive. It's not one of those groups out there that if you ask a question, you get ridiculed by 3,000 people. It's one that somebody starts ridiculing in my group, they go to the block party real fast. So come hang out in the positive group because it's great for learning. But so that's it for now, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thank you, David and Stephanie, for being on. You guys are awesome. And I can't wait to hang out with you in person again. And for everybody listening, we know how we close this. Go save the world one frostbite at a time. Go save the world one heat stroke at a time.
You've been listening to the Close It Now podcast. Our passion is to dive headfirst into the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement. And at the same time, covering fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth. Proving that we can indeed have it all. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, find the website at closeitnow.net. Find us on Instagram at The Real Close It Now and on Facebook at Close It Now. See you next time.